you're going to Children's Church, if you'll follow Miss Virginia to my left. Who's your helper this morning, Miss Virginia? Miss Virginia, who's your helper? Ooh, Diana, yay. Those of you who are staying in the service, if you will, turn your Bibles to the book of Revelation, Revelation 21. Revelation 21, we're going to continue in our study. Next week, we're going to start on our Easter sermons. And I want you to be excited. In 2 weeks, I'm getting hand signals. I want you to be excited. In 2 weeks, we're going to have a Messianic Jew here on Sunday morning. He's going to be preaching to us and teaching us about Palm Sunday and what the Passover really means from a scriptural perspective. So if you are into scholarly messages, I'm talking, just be here. I've watched it. It is phenomenal. I really think you're going to enjoy it, and hope it'll accentuate the Easter experience for our congregation. Amen? Last week, as we continued in this series of what happens when we die, we looked at the Great White Throne Judgment. We learned that this judgment was reserved for those who were lost when they died. They had not accepted Jesus as their Savior, and they rebelled against the notion of God. We learned that these people will be judged by the only one who is qualified to judge them, and that's Jesus. And Jesus will open up books to judge these lost souls. We learned that Jesus will use the Word of God, or the Bible, and the Book of Life to judge these who stand before Him. We also learned that this judgment was a judgment of degrees, not to determine if the person was going to go to heaven. These were given what they deserved and for all eternity in a place they have chosen, and that's hell. We learned that this was the last judgment, and that from this point on in time, only those created and those who accepted Christ would dwell together. Now today we're going to see what God is going to do with those who chose Him on this earth. So let's look at Revelation chapter 21, and we're going to start reading in verse 1. And John records this. He says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea existed no more. I also saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from out of heaven. From God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne. Look, God's dwelling place is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will exist no longer. Grief, crying, pain will exist no longer, because the previous things have passed away. Then one seated on the throne said, Look, I am making everything new. He also said, Write, because these words are faithful and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the beginning and the end. I will give to the thirsty from the spring of the living water as a gift. The victor will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you again, Lord, we ask you to forgive us of our sins and where we fail you. Lord, we pray that you would just still our hearts right now. Lord, I pray that every person who sits amongst us or listens to this message on the internet, Lord, wouldn't hear my voice or hear a word from me. They'd hear a word from you. Not because of who I am, Lord Jesus, but because of who you are. Pray that you would bless the reading of your word. Pray that you'd bless the preaching of your word. And bless the saints of God who have come to hear a word from you this morning. Let that be done, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. And all God's children said, Amen. Amen. At the very onset of this sermon, I'm going to tell you, that what we just read is enormous. It really is. It's huge. And to tell you that I'm going to be able to explain it and to preach it to 100% of assurance of all that's going to take place on this day would be a lie to myself and a lie to you. I know this, church. This day is going to be absolutely amazing. I could sit here and try to explain and give you illustrations of the complexities of everything that's going to take place, but I can't. This is going to be one of those awe-inspiring days. It's too much for our brains to handle, and I believe that's why we have the little bit of information that we have. It's just too much for us to handle. But I believe it's going to be, you know, we'll do our very best on the day to handle all the information when it takes place. Now, what did we just read? What did we just see in our scripture? Now, we first hear an eyewitness account to what's been seen with his own eyes. Now, I guess the first question here should be, is John, the writer of this book, the only prophetical book in the New Testament, is John a reliable witness? Because people say things all the time. People write things all the time. People do things all the time. Is this person a reliable witness to what we just saw? Now, church, I could approach this question that I just asked you, is he a reliable witness, from several different directions, or I could choose, I can go straight to the heart of the matter and say that Jesus thought John was reliable. He did. Jesus thought John was reliable. The writer of what we just read, Jesus himself thought he was reliable. Jesus trusted this man who was reporting this event with the life of the one who loved him first on this earth. Who loved Jesus first on this earth? His mother. Jesus trusted John with his mother. I believe with all that is in me as a man and as a man of God that what John the Apostle is reporting here is reliable, meaning that I believe everything that he said will happen as stated and it's proper timing. It's going to happen. Brother Kyle, why are you saying this? Why are you going to such lengths to qualify John? Because we can so easily disqualify things in the day that we live in. Oh, that's not important. That didn't really happen. You can trust this person. You can do this. Listen, John is reliable and we can trust him. If for no other reason, listen, it made it to the Word of God. Amen? So he is reliable. Now, John first sees with his eyes something that may be a bit perplexing for us as Christians. Now, I mean, the first couple times I've read through this, and I remember one of the first times I read this, it was like, really? Why? You know, what's going on here? Well, John sees a new heaven and a new earth. I'm going to be honest with you. Miss Desi, I have never seen heaven. Any of y'all ever seen heaven? But the Bible explains it, and the Bible gives illustration with it. In my mind, as I'm reading through this, I'm like, I'm okay with the old one. I mean, it's heaven. How can it be bad, Mary Beth? I mean, it's heaven, right? But he says this morning there's a new heaven and an earth, new earth. John immediately follows what he is seeing by telling us, the readers, that the old heaven and the old earth have passed away, and that means they're not around anymore. They're gone. Never to be seen again. Now, I think we can all know why the earth would need replacing. But why a new heaven? Church, both were done away with for the very same reason. Sin had been present in both places. But what? Sin had been present in heaven? Yep, sin had been present in heaven. On earth by man, and in heaven by those who rebelled against a holy and a righteous God. When Satan led the uprising, what took place in heaven was sin. Well, Brother Kyle, I know that. Well, why are you stressing it? Listen, we need to understand that sin is sin. Do you understand me? Now, I've said this many times. We cannot look at sinners and pass judgment on sinners. That's heresy. Because sinners, until they know Jesus, that they don't know what sin, they can't really understand what sin is. Does that make sense? But the fact still remains, sin is sin. If God calls something sin, it's sin. And we can't look at it and say, oh, I don't think that's sin. God doesn't care what you think. Sin is sin. Now, commentator Paige Patterson says this. He says, some interpreters believe the expressions in Revelation chapter 21 and 22 relating to the new heavens and the earth, new earth, are merely a continuation of the millennium. Others see a purged heaven and earth. While this doubtless is the case, what actually occurs at the close of the millennium seems to be a somewhat more catastrophic cleansing and purging of the entire cosmos. We're not just talking about heaven and earth. We're talking about everything. Everything. The entire cosmos is cleansed, cleaned, and purified. The elements, he says, melt with fervent heat. From all of this emerges a new heaven and a new earth. The purging of everything wicked and destructive from the entire cosmos gives rise to a new heaven and a new earth in which nothing but righteousness will dwell. Church, did you just hear what I said? Nothing but righteousness will dwell here. I don't know about you. I'm just about to the point, and I've said this many times, I'm about ready to just turn off all computers except for Windows that I prepare my sermons on. I'm just about ready to turn off every TV in my house, unless it's, sports related. I am just about ready to take my phone and go to Verizon and just get a flip phone. Something that just takes phone calls. That's it. I mean, wasn't that a good time when we had just a phone that took phone calls? I'm tired of seeing people glued to their phone 24/7. What you doing? I'm just looking. We don't interact anymore nearly as much as we used to. I mean, listen. On this day, all unrighteousness is going to be gone. Everything's going to be going away. I'm sick of all the bad news. On this day, there's going to be no bad news. Listen, there's not even going to be the ability to bad news to come in. Everything is going to be righteous. Brother Kyle, what's that going to be like? I don't know, but it's going to be good. It's going to be so good. You're going to be totally and completely surrounded by righteousness. Have you ever been, the closest I ever, it was on my wedding day with my wife standing at the altar, right? Amen? Right, John? She's not here, brother. Come on. Now, what else do we see? Now, I have the awesome task, church, this morning, of trying to explain to you what all of this is going to look like. Because that is always what we want to know. Now, I had and still continue to have very limited words to express what the old heaven will look like. But now I have the task of what the new one looks like. Church, it will be easier for me to explain what we will experience rather than what we'll see on this day. Now, I believe it's going to be absolutely magnificent. And the way John writes it, I believe that we're going to be able to see what's taking place. I believe that God is going to, he's going to make an announcement to us. And, remember, only those who have chosen Christ or those that God created are going to be standing in front of God during this time. And we're going to look up, and I believe that we're going to see all those created beings come and stand with us in front of God, because they're going to have to leave the old heaven, right? Because it's getting ready to melt away. So we'll all be together on this day standing in front of God. Right? Y'all with me? Can y'all imagine you're just looking around and, there's angels everywhere. Seraphim, cherubim, you're just like, hey, man, what's going on? You're engaging with them. They're interacting with you. And listen, there's things that God created the Scripture hasn't even told us about. I don't know. It's going to be great. And we're all going to be standing here on this day. And heaven and earth are going to melt away. In my mind, I cannot support this with Scripture. And Miss Desi, the science teacher, she can help me with this, maybe. Heaven and earth fade away. All the cosmos is cleansed. If everything is gone, what do you think we'll be standing in? Darkness. Now, I'm not talking about an evil darkness. I'm talking about darkness. The darkness that existed before God created everything. And you know what's amazing? When you go outside, and Amy and I years ago, we went to Linville Caverns. And in Linville Caverns, you can experience something that you can't experience anywhere else, where not many places on the earth. It's called total darkness. The guy leading you around. He'll tell you, now we're going to experience total darkness, y'all. You know, put your hand on the wall, brace yourselves, you know, just for a few seconds. And he cuts the flashlight off, and all the lights go off in Linville Caverns. And there's always some silly woman, but your eyes immediately try to adjust to the darkness. But they can't. You can see nothing. And you're looking around trying to just see darkness exposed by just a glitter of light. Because the guy said it's total darkness. I'm going to see if he's telling the truth. I'm looking around the corner looking, you know, for a doorway. And it's total. Any of y'all ever been to Linville Caverns and seen that? I mean, it's pretty amazing. But then he turns the light back on. And your eyes immediately try to readjust to your surroundings around you. Well, imagine on this day, we're standing in darkness because heaven and earth passed away. Everything's been purged. And we've watched it dissolve in a fiery, just magnificent way. And we're in darkness. And then we start hearing a sound. A sound maybe of a roar, of a lake, of a stream. I don't know. Just a roar. A roar of what? A roar of creation. And all of a sudden, the light is just immense all around us, and we can see all of this taking place around us, the new heaven and the new earth coming towards us. Well, Brother Kyle, where are we standing? I don't know. It sounds like we're just standing in mid-space, doesn't it, Miss Desi? I mean, we're standing. Well, you can't do that. You're with God. You can do anything. We're standing in pure righteousness. I wish y'all would get as excited as I am about this. It's going to be an unbelievable day. So let me try to explain the experience, because there's not a whole lot of information about what we are going to see. Now, John starts off our experience with words that I know we're going to greatly disturb many, if not all, in our sanctuary this morning. I know that Sharon, you're going to be upset, and Amy, you are definitely going to be upset, and Tracy, you're probably going to be upset, and anybody, well, you'll see here in a second. John records seeing that the sea existed no longer. Now, you can try and nitpick and think, you know what, that means the ocean is gone. The new heaven and the new earth have no ocean. Now, somebody just sit here. Well, I don't know if I want to go now. I don't know if I want to go. Now, myself included, we go to the ocean to see the beauty and its vastness. We find solace in the sounds of the waves crashing into the sand and the birds looking for their next meal. But not all look at the ocean and feel the same way. Now, I believe the majority of us do, amen? I love hearing the oceans and, you know, the crashing against the sand, and I love to hear the birds. I like to get people mad around me. I always take a bag of chips, and I feed all them seagulls, and people are like, you know. That's just me. But here the past couple of times I've gone down to Tybee with my wife, you know, people have been, you know, carrying the radio. Y'all don't carry your radios to the beach. If you do, take some earphones. Can I get an amen? Amen. Listen, if you want to hear a radio at the beach, put earphones in. I go down there to listen to the waves. But anyway, where am I going with this? That ocean doesn't have the same experience for some people. How many of y'all have gone overseas to fight in war? Or just going overseas without your spouse? Can y'all imagine? It's wonderful, the day that we live in. I remember coming when you were in Afghanistan. I remember walking through the halls, and you called Aaron while church started. And I walked over there, and I talked to you. Man, it was great. I mean, I could see you, and you could see me, and we were talking, and it was wonderful. But do y'all realize during World War II, it wasn't like that? These men went off to, you know, wherever they went off, whether it was, the Eastern European region or over in the Philippines, or, you know, they were away from their families. And when they looked at the ocean, they might have seen the beauty, but they also saw a vast gulf between them and the ones they loved. You write a letter, and it might get back to them a month or 2 months or 3 months after you wrote it. I watched a documentary years ago about people who received letters from their loved ones after they had already died, and the word of their death got to them way before the last letter they wrote to them. That gulf, that mighty gulf, was the ocean that kept them apart. Now, Paige Patterson says this about the gulf. He says, some have argued that John, the writer of our message this morning, looked out every day over the GNC to where his beloved church awaited him in Ephesus. The way was barred by the sea, and therefore the sea, for all its beauty, became a menace to John that stood for separation. Therefore, the sea and all its beauty became a menace to John. And God's people from direct concourse with the Lord, as well as with the departed, and even many of those who were alive at the time. The expression seems to be that in this new order that we see, the new heaven and the earth, the painful earthly estrangements will no longer exist. Church, there will be no more barriers to keep us from anything or anybody. Praise God. You know, I there's been times where I've seen, I'd love to go to England. I'd love to go to Scotland, where my family is from. I'd love to, you know, go see Svenja in Germany. The exchange student was here with us when we first came. I would love to go to Egypt and see our exchange student daughter, Miriam, who lived with us. I would love to go to South Africa to see Brett Ashworth, who was the first exchange student who lived with us. I would love to be able to do that. But listen, there's two reasons why I can't. That plane ticket's expensive. Very expensive. And you can't drive across the ocean. I mean, I've seen where some people have tried to. And they've gotten a pretty good start, Bob. But about 10 feet out, they can't do it anymore. Just right down in. You can fill the tank up, Gary, and put a life jacket in the back, and you still not drive into Europe. You can't do it. But on this day, there's no more oceans. What this means is there's no more separation. No more barriers, no more gates, no more walls, no more hinges. We're all together as one. As a righteous community, there's no more barriers. There's no more barriers between heaven and earth. We're all together, amen? Unbelievable. Unbelievable day. John then explains how the new creations will arrive, how they'll be received, and what we can liken this event to in verse 2. Look at verse 2. He says, I also saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. Now, y'all, it was going on 27 years ago. I'm not quite as long as Gary and Angie. But I remember, and I've told y'all, we decided we were just going to have a real small wedding. And then a couple days later, I'll wear a dress and you wear just a suit. I said, okay. You know, Bob, it ain't about us. We just, okay. Couple days later, well, I want to get a couple of my friends. They're going to be bridesmaids. Pick us up. Okay. You think they can get tuxedos? Yeah. For too long, I mean, we're full-fledged. We bought into it 100%. Now, I mean, it's not big time, but I mean, we've got the caterer. We got the guy in a cheesy suit playing music. We've got hors d'oeuvres, and we've got a wedding. But y'all listen. I remember when I walked through those doors, just through those doors right here, and I stood right here, and I followed Amy's grandfather in, and you know, he said, stand right here, son, and you know, we're going to wait. And they were playing the music. We hired some woman. What was her name? I can't remember her name. To sing a couple songs. $300-$400 to sing two songs. That's pretty good. Colin? Bailey? That's pretty good. And I stood there, and about that time she started, you know, that person started playing the dun da da dun da 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 dun, and I was like, okay, here we go. And I looked, and the doors were shut, and they opened those doors, and my wife, been dating for 5 years at the time, stood there, and I mean, I was like, you know, dress, whatever, you know, come on. Open the doors, and I'm like, ooh, woo! Hello! Come on down! I mean, the price is right, come on! Brother Kyle, are you trying to be silly here this morning? I'm really not. I'm trying to, y'all remember, we weren't allowed to see the dress. Now, I mean, this dress was a family dress, and I had seen it, but I hadn't seen it since it was taken in. Okay, a fat family member had worn it, and Amy, you know, took it in, you know, had to, and Haley, I was like, woo! Brother Kyle, what are you saying? I'm saying this. Listen to the scripture again. Listen to the scripture. Verse 2. It says this. I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. Brother Kyle, can you tell me what it's going to look like? I don't have a clue. Griffin, I don't have a clue what it's going to look like. It's going to be good, though. It's going to be good. Well, I can tell you this. I know how all of us are going to respond. Brother Kyle, you don't know nothing about me. You don't know how I'm going to respond. We all respond differently. I know how you're going to respond to this. Just like a groom who sees his wife coming down the aisle the first time, you're going to be like this. Woo! I mean, you might even do like this. One of the most heart-tugging things that I ever saw in all my life was this, there was a wedding I went to, one of the first weddings I ever went to. This guy was standing down here. I remember the bride. I don't remember what the groom's name is. It don't matter. I think they're divorced anyway. But anyway, they were in love. They really were. He loved. I don't know what happened. But anyway, the doors opened, and Bob, this guy just lost it. I don't know if he just realized, man, you know, golly, I paid that for that. I don't know what it was. But when those doors opened and she started walking towards him, he lost it. I'm talking tears. And I'm thinking, dude, you need to man up. Come on. Come on, really? And then he dropped to one knee and I was like, come on. I mean, come on. This is that day. Church, this is that day when we see the new heaven and new earth, and I don't understand the complexities, but we will that day, Bill. We'll understand exactly what God is doing for us. Listen, there's times today when we talk about the blood of Jesus and the sacrifice he made for us that we don't even get a warm, fuzzy feeling anymore. But on this day, you will understand everything, every price that God paid for you and for me, and how he's done everything. He's gone overboard and on top. Listen, he did all this, and plus, we get a new heaven and a new earth. Because in God's mind, the old heaven and the old earth aren't good enough for us. He wants something new. I like my God, don't you? I do. Listen, how many of y'all have, man, my car just died. Golly, it's just dead. Where's Jeff Poth at? Jeff, you deal with these people all the time. And they come in and they ask the first question, where's Ricky Tire? Ricky, where's Ricky? I saw him earlier. Anyway, they come in and this is what they ask. What's the best, nicest, cheap car you got? I mean, I wanted to run for 16 years, but I want to pay $10 for it. Huh? You pay what you get for, church. Amen. Now, I don't like paying the extra insurance and those monthly payments. I do not. Look here. I do not. But, church, I'm frugal. I don't want to say cheap, but I'm cheap. I'm cheap. I save my money in trying to pay cash for a car. I mean, save. Really? I mean, that's what I think we all ought to do. But I'm going to be honest with you. When I'm sitting at that stoplight, and I've got a Dodge Ram 1500 04, And I look over, and I see a new Dodge Ram 1500 pull up beside me. And he, you know, revs that engine. And I'm like, oh, golly. Ooh. I mean, that feels like wind rushing through my hair. And I was like, ooh. And I roll my window down. I have power windows. And I looked at it and I said, man, that thing sounds good. He said, yeah, it does. I said, but I bet you don't have a cassette player. I'd love to have a brand new, not new to me, a brand new truck, not a charger. I'd love to have a brand new truck. There's 40-something thousand reasons why I ain't going to. Huh? Oh, sick, Jeff saying, nope, 60,000-something reasons. Y'all, listen to me. I want to testify this morning. Can I? Is it all right? Last Sunday afternoon, your pastor just about had a stroke or a heart attack, one of the two. Me and Amy trying to teach old Fikri how to drive. Mary Beth, I wish you could see the look on your face right now. I mean, we're trying to teach our boy Fikri how to drive. So we figure a safe place will be, you know, in the mall, around the mall area. And he's doing good, y'all. He's done a whole lot better. But we're driving around the parking lot, you know, around the outside perimeter of the and he didn't understand the whole concept, and I don't know how, of stop signs. He has watched some of y'all, I believe. You come up to the stop sign, slow down, then speed, go through. No, Stop. I mean, I even got out of the car, put it in drive, and I said, right here on this line, you are to come to a complete and total stop. Yes, I know. Well, you didn't a few minutes ago. So look, we go around three times. He's gotten progressively better. I mean, he has. And my blood pressure's, you know, coming down. Bob, I'm doing good. I said, okay, Fikri, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go around one more time. I'm going to let you go. Yes, Lord, praise Jesus. Okay, go around one more time. And as he's coming around the last time, I said, okay, pull in here, and pull into a parking spot and stop. And, you know, I'll drive you home because he ain't driving. He ain't driving on 204. But anyway, so he pulls in, Bob, to the parking area. And I'm thinking, okay, he's going to pick this. Nope. He's going to pick this parking spot. Nope. Not this. Nope. He is driving straight towards one of them $60,000 trucks. And I'm thinking, okay, stop. And I don't say it. Sharon, I don't say it. But I'm thinking, stop, boys. You need to stop. And the words are getting ready to come out of my mouth. And Amy says, stop! Stop! I mean, we're like from here to here to the $60,000, and then she doesn't stop there. She says, listen. This truck costs $4,300. That one costs $40,000-something. When we say stop, you need to stop. Why are you saying all this? God's not giving us something old. He's not giving us something old. He's giving us something brand new. You know, when we're going to smell that fresh car smell. It's going to be new. And you know, there's times when I go out exploring and y'all go out exploring and we wonder, I wonder if this is the first time anybody's ever seen this. When we say it's going to be the first time anybody's ever seen this. The creatures that God's created, the heavenly creation, it's going to be the first time they see it, Bob. And you know something amazing? He's going to do it right there in front of our eyes. How is that possible for him to create a heaven, new heaven and a new earth right in front of us? I don't know. He's God. Amen? Amen. Well, it took him 7 days to do this. Yeah, well, it took him 7 days because he wanted it to take him 7 days. He's going to do this right in front of our eyes. Verse 3 tells us that God will now dwell with man. Paige Patterson says this, there is clearly some sense in which the book of Revelation now declares that God dwells uniquely among men. The doctrines that we all know of omnipresence, of the omnipresence of God, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit throughout history of the church have been doctrines of great comfort and assurance of the providences of God. But church, the heart, my heart, your heart, longs for the opportunity to walk visibly with Christ, as was the privilege of the first century apostles. Church, on this day, we will dwell eternally with God. We'll have that privilege. Amen. Golly, y'all need to get excited. Verse 4 tells us another experience on that day. Look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Now, some people have said, you know, when we go to heaven, there's not going to be any more crying, no more tear, no more pain. Church, honestly, where I see this in Scripture is here. You mean to tell me they're still crying, suffering, and pain in the first heaven? I can't say that. I can't say that for sure either way. All I know is this is happening with the new heaven and the new earth. Things are better in heaven. Yeah, things are better in the heaven, the heaven right now. Yeah, absolutely. Will we experience anything? Now, I don't believe we'll experience pain or suffering, but listen, you know, church, God has given us an explanation here that this second heaven and earth, these experiences are gone completely. Here, right here, right then, right there. Now, verse 5 tells us that God is going to leave no stone unturned. He says, Then one seated on the throne said, Look, I am making everything. Y'all know what everything means in the Greek and Hebrew? Everything. Everything. He says, I am making everything new. He also said, Write, because these words are faithful and true. Paige Patterson says this. He says the phrase that stresses about the pain being gone, he says that these things associated with weeping and pain and agony and death shall pass away, and God's presence will make all things new and fresh. The presence of God. Brother, how can you relate that? 26 years we've been married. Every morning she gets up and she drives to Bluffton to go to school, to go to work. And I come to my office, and I do mine, and I go home, and I usually have dinner prepared or about done when she gets home. Sometime around 5 o'clock, Miss Shirley, that little stinking dog of hers, I'll see her stand up on the back of the couch. And then she'll start barking. And I know what that means. Y'all know what that means? It means Amy's home. And church, I'll open up the front door and I'll walk out there. Now, we started dating when we were 17. We've been married for 26 years. And still to this day, when I see my wife after a period of time where we've not been together, my eyes light up. I can feel my heart just, you know, light up. Why is that? Because she's mine and I'm hers. Amen? Amen? And that's the way God meant it to be. That's what it's going to be like on this day. And it's not because of who we're going to be with as far as God's creation, and our wife's going to be there and our loved ones are going to be there. That's just an added, you know, add-on. It's not that. It's that we're going to be in the presence of God. All things that used to bother us are going to bother us no more, because we are in the perfect presence of the most righteous thing we've ever been able to be a part of, and that's God. Now, God finishes this portion of Scripture by qualifying Himself. Now, He doesn't have to, Gary Page, but He does. We saw John is qualified to give us this Scripture, but God Himself, Vicki Benson, God qualifies Himself. Look at verse 6. Verse 6 says, it says this. Let me find it. Where are you? Oh, wrong chapter. Verse 6 says this. And He said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, and the beginning and the end. Do y'all know where this I am goes all the way back to? All the way back to when Moses was standing in front of that burning bush, and Moses says, who is it that I'm supposed to say is sending me? He says, you tell them that I am is sending you. Listen to it again. God says, he says, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the thirsty from the spring of the living water as a gift, free of charge. The victor will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. That's a good word, and that's good news, church. But we got to keep reading. Verse 8 says this, but the cowards, unbelievers, vile, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their share will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Church, we have a decision to make. Which one of these do you want to experience? If you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, you're going to experience the second, not the first. I can't tell you how wonderful the first is going to be. And I can't tell you how miserably horrible the second's going to be. But I can tell you this, you don't have to experience it. All you have to do is accept Jesus as your personal Savior. When? Right now. Right now. Let's all stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Father, we come to you in celebration thanking you, God, that you're going to give us, you're going to give us even more. God, I don't understand that. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But you're going to continue to give and give and give just because I accepted your free gift as your son, my Savior. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that you'd be with one who might be here this morning who's never accepted your son, that today they will accept your son as their personal Savior. Be with us during this time of invitation. God, Holy Spirit, Jesus, do what only you can do and draw sinners to yourself this morning, right now. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come this morning? Will you come down and accept Christ as your personal Savior? Will you?